Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to thank you, dear God, for all that you are doing in our life, oh God. Dear God, for the things that we can hear from you, for speaking to us, oh God, and allowing us to actually even be able to hear you, to be attentive to your voice, oh God. I just pray to God that this message would not just be a great message, but God, it would be a timely message, oh God, impacting those that hear it today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Today, I am going to be preaching about worship. Somebody say worship. Now, when we come to church, worship is a word that we hear often, right? And unfortunately, most people think worship is the slow songs that we do, right? We got the praise songs, which is the, you know, the jumping, and you get, you know, you get your dance on a little bit. I don't know. We kind of chilled out here, I guess. But then you got the worship songs where you close your eyes and, you know, you focus more on God, right? That's what some people think praise and worship is. But really, praise is a part of worship, amen? And I'm going to explain that. I told you guys this Tuesday that, hey, I was going to preach on worship because I said something, and everybody was like, what? Really? And I was like, yeah, I got to preach this message. But really, really, what the reason why I want to preach on worship today is because we need to understand what true worship is. We need to understand what worshiping in spirit and truth means, how we should live a lifestyle full of worship so that God can be pleased with us. Amen? How many of us know that God desires our worship? Do you know what? Not only does God desire it, the devil desires your worship, right? He and I'm going to talk about that later. The devil's job is to get your worship. His whole state of being, the reason why he got kicked out of heaven is because he wanted this word called worship. So if God is wanting your worship and the devil's wanting your worship, there's a battle for your worship. All right? So let's think about something. There's a war for our worship. The devil is trying to hinder you from worshiping God. How many of you been to church before and it was like, I don't know about worshiping God today. I done had so much stuff happening in my life. I know I've had that happen to me before where you felt kind of like clogged up. When it's time to worship, you're like, I give God a little bit because, you know, he's still worthy a little bit. But you kind of held back in your worship, right? Am I the only one that has had that happen in my life? Okay. If you had it happen, say, I had it happen. Okay. Now, why did you have that happen in your life? Because the devil's trying to hinder your worship. Some of the tests and the trials that you go through are to see if you're still going to worship God through the good times and the bad. They were singing a song yesterday. I'll praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad. I'll praise you in all that I go through. Because praise is what I do. Now, it didn't say praise you when everything is good. No, the lyrics to that song are powerful because you have to praise and worship just like, as my dad said, when everything don't go your way. Now, I'm mad about that. You know, I'm really upset about it. I know my mom is too. That's why she ain't saying nothing. She's just twiddling her thumbs. She's a little upset about that. I mean, when you put in a lot of work and it doesn't come out the way that you want it to come out, you're upset about that, right? I don't know how many of you would want to put $1 million into something and then you go bankrupt. You know what I'm saying? Or $1 million worth of work and you get nothing out of it. That frustrates you. And sometimes what we do is we go and point our finger to God like, God, man, what the heck? Why? And I didn't say a bad word. I said heck. Why in the world are you going to let something like that happen? God, why? How many of us has asked those questions to God? Like, God, I would love for this to happen, but every time I give my all, every time I try to do something, it just is not working out the way that I want it to. You know why? Not because God doesn't want to give you the great things, but he's trying to test your worship. He's trying to see, is your worship really true? Amen? I don't need that. Do I look like I'm sweating? Praise the Lord. But this is something that has been on my heart. I actually preached this message before. I think this is the second message that I actually preached before somewhere else, and God told me to bring it here. I preached this when I was at Victorious Life Christian Center. Man, I can't remember how long ago. It was about, this was the longest message that I ever preached too, so I'm not going to make it too long for y'all. Y'all going to get the short, condensed version, amen? And the updated version, right? Because we were actually at church 2 hours. Praise the Lord. So it was a good message, though. God moved. But let's look at this quote that I have. The first quote says, worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshiped. Let's think about that. Worship changes the worshiper into the image of one worshiped. So the more that I worship God, the more that I become like him. Now, I'm not talking about exalting myself like God, but I'm saying his characteristics. See, the more that you meditate on God's goodness, the gooder you're going to become. Because that's, or the better you're going to come. The best, something like that. But the more you focus on God's attributes and the things that who he is, it changes your character. Because if you look up to somebody, you begin to model your character after them, whether you know it or not. Right? Now, Quentin, you do boxing. Have you been boxing still? So who's one of your favorite boxers? Mayweather. Oh, Muhammad Ali. Okay. Now, do you watch Muhammad Ali box still? So since you admire it, do you try to take some of those things and say, hey, let me try to go put that into my little swag when I'm a boxer, you know? So basically what happens is the things that you look at and you say you aspire, you're like, oh, man, let me try to add that to my category. Let me add that to my who I am. That's what we do when we worship God. We're saying, God, okay, you're lovely. God, help me to be lovely to the people that I'm around. Amen? Worship sets the atmosphere for God to move. Somebody say, worship sets the atmosphere for God to move. Now, what do I mean by that? The more that you are a worshiper, the more that God is going to move in your life. Because realistically, when you worship, you're saying, I am not good enough. You sacrificing, you lift your hands. When we lift our hands, it's not just a fad thing. That's the thing that's saying, God, I surrender to what you want me to do. God, I praise you, and God, I'm not even worthy to stand here where I'm at. When the Israelites first started going in, they used to have to go into the place of worship, right? The high priests were the only ones that can go in at that time. But when they went into that place of worship, they had to check themselves. They were like, okay, am I doing the right thing, God? Because I'm not trying to walk in there like Belial. He walked in there and we had to pull him out with the string, right? So I'm not trying to be that one. So what they had to do, they had to prep themselves to worship God. They had to purify themselves to worship God. See, the reason why God struck them is because he wanted them to understand the importance of worship. He wanted them to understand the importance of standing in his presence. God hates sin. So if we think we can worship God, and I say this a lot, with a life full of sin, that's not worship. You might be singing good, right? But God looks at your heart. That's what he wants. God can care less how you sound when you sing. I mean, God got angels around him. You ain't beating the angels, right? When they say they got heavenly voices, that's not just something to name them with. That's what they have. So there's no way you can beat their singing. But what God wants to see, he called David a man after God's own heart because he had a heart of worship. When this guy did something wrong, what did David do? He didn't just sit there and be like, oh, well, it's going to be cool. Hopefully God didn't see that one. I mean, some of us act like that, though, right? God, hopefully I can slide by with that one. Maybe God really ain't going to judge me on that one. You know, we all sin. We heard that before, right? We all have made mistakes, so it'll be all right for me to know. That's not the heart of worship. Our heart needs to be pure before God. It needs to be cleansed before we go into worship. A lot of things that hinder worship are because of sin. You're not even going to feel worship if you got sin in your life. The only thing you're going to feel is all your problems. And you're going to feel awkward because you know, I need to repent. I need to get in right standing with God. Something is wrong and I need to get this out of me. But that's why you surrender. That's why you say, God, I surrender. Forgive me, God. Cleanse me, God. I want you to hear my heart, God. Worship is a time where you speak with God. You hear from God. It's not just a song. Somebody say, it's not just a song. Let's look at the definitions of worship. One, this is the English. The English use this as a person of importance. Used as a title for various officials. They used to call them, hey, how you doing, my worship? Number two is reference offered a divine being or supernatural power also. An act of expressing such reverence. Good Lord, help me. Three, a form of religious practice with its creed and ritual. Now, let me say something about that one. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to have a form of worship, even though it's in the dictionary. We don't want to have a form of worship. It's reverence. It's respect that we give to God. Amen? Because anytime you start formulating something, it starts to be like it just starts to be pattern. And God doesn't want you to just, it's just like if you went and said something to me every single day, right? If you said the exact same thing at 12 o'clock every single day, what would one of y'all say? Like, dude, shut your mouth. Will you quit saying that? Because it starts to bug you, right? Right? So when we go and worship God, we don't want to say the same things over and over again. We don't want to get into the form where we're doing the exact same thing every time we worship. Oh, we're going to sing two fast songs. We're going to sing two slow songs, and we out of there. And God's going to be pleased, right? Mom, as a worship leader, sometimes it takes more than four songs for the people to get into worship, right? I'll tell you this. When I was a praise and worship leader at Victorious Life, I did not let the praise and worship team get off the stage until they actually worship God. Why? Because if the praise and worship team or the praise and worship leaders, as we call them, are not leading in worship, what are they doing? They're leading songs. And, you know, some people, they it took them a little bit longer to start worshiping. But I would be like, well, we'll just stay in this song right here until you get it. I'm serious. Because if you have a spirit of worship, it changes the atmosphere. So people that don't even know God, when they see the worship of God, they're like, wow, what is going on? We went and did some events, and as we were worshiping God, this kid, he had never experienced that. And I said, you never experienced this, have you? He was like, no, man, but it's beautiful. You know, it's angelic. It's funny when people try to describe what's going on. But I was like, that's because we're worshiping God. And in his presence, you're in his presence right now. You feel awkward because you have to get some things right in your life so that you can usher in and step in to worship yourself. Amen? So the last definition was extravagant respect or admiration for a devotion to an object of esteem. Some people worship the dollar, right? Do some people worship money? What are some other things people worship? Cars? Computers? iPhones, maybe? I mean, I know some people, they'll pay $3,000 for an iPhone. Candy, okay, a lot of stuff. People worship a lot of stuff. But once again, worship is a lifestyle. Is your lifestyle worshiping God? It's not a song. Worship is not the gathering of God's people. You can worship when you're at home. Did you know that? I mean, some of us say that, but how many of us actually worship God when we're at home? Or how many of us actually worship God when we're in our car or when we're at our jobs? How many of us worship God like that? And you don't need a song to do it. The way you reverence God, if you reverence God, I'm going to tell you a key way to worship God is to put him first in everything that you do. Well, let me, just like, you know, some of us have our little checklist. Somebody called me, hey, Marquise, can you send me this music by tomorrow? Well, wait, I got to look at my checklist to see what I got to get done, right? I got 8 things to do before tomorrow, so you might have to be pushed down just a little bit. Just the same way we look at our checklists or whatever, our checkbook, just to make sure everything's in order. We got to check with God first, like, God, is this cool with you? Is this what you want me to do? I don't want to be outside of your will. That's when you are worshiping God. Amen? Let's look at another quote that I have, and we're going to get into some scriptures. The next one is by Jerry Kearns. It says, the whole person, with all his senses, with both mind and body, needs to be involved in genuine worship. Your whole, all of you needs to be involved with worship. Your thoughts need to be involved with worship. Some of us sing songs and we're like, oh, man, that person is not singing in the right key. That hindered your worship right there. Now you're not thinking about God, right? And like I said, do your best to sing in the right key. You know what I'm saying? Do your best. I got to do my best to play the right keys. We got to do our best and give our best to God. Amen? But we shouldn't allow those things, when we're worshiping God, we shouldn't allow those things to cloud our mind. It's like, oh, am I playing the right key every time? Now you're not worried about worshiping. You're worried about, am I doing the right things? You need to fill your mind with worship to Christ. What does it look like when you're worshiping God? What does it sound like when you're worshiping God? Some of us know when we really ushered in. Megan had an experience today. She couldn't even sing. She had to put the mic down because she was in worship. Sometimes you have to do that. Everything that you do is not going to be cookie cutter. Sometimes God is going to hit you so hard, you might start running around the building. And there's nothing wrong with that. My wife was given an experience how, you know, she was on a bus, and God told her to go pray for everybody on that bus. And she said this. This is the thing she said when God first told her. God, we on a bus. Can you really move on a bus? You know, and this is when she was younger, right? So she went and prayed, and guess what? She ended up through worship laying out everybody on the bus except the bus driver. Amen. And the youth pastor that was on there. And that was a good thing. I told her, babe, don't lay hands on the bus driver. I say, when I'm driving, babe, don't touch me. But in being in a mind state of worship, reverencing God, even above my own thoughts and own feelings, you can operate in the power of God. Some of us haven't seen healings because some of us don't worship. It's not that God cannot do these things, but what has happened is the church has got so lackadaisical when it comes to worship. They leave it to songs. They leave it to only at church. They leave it to only when I'm around my Christian friends. But when I'm around these other people, I don't need to I'm going to worship whatever they're worshiping. God requires your worship. Amen. Let's look at some of the scriptures about God. Because how many of us know God is a jealous God? What does jealous mean? If my daughter is jealous, and if I give my son a toy and she is jealous, she's going to come and take that. She's going to try her best to come get that from him. God is trying his best to get the worship from you. He does so much stuff in our life, and I got to keep on moving. Let's go to Exodus 34, 14. But somebody say, God is a jealous God. This is a commandment that God gave them. It's really one of the Ten Commandments. But it says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." So it says again, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." Now, in our hearts, since we're Christians, we may not have G-O-Ds in our life, right? We have God, but then we have things that consume our minds. It consumes our thoughts. Those are gods in your life, okay? The things that consume your mind the most are gods in your life. Because we're not bowing down. We live in an age where there's other religions that bow down to statues and praise things like. We don't bow down to crosses. We don't bow down to statues. That's not what we do. But it's where your heart is at that matters to God. Your heart has to be a heart that is following after God. Let's go to another scripture that talks about some more about God and his jealousy. Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 24. And this is what happens when God sees you give worship to somebody else, okay? It says this, "All nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean?" Okay, so not only when you worship other gods, is God going to be upset? But he's going to burn with anger. He's going to be, that's furious, right? Have anybody have a friend that you knew that you did something to and they were really just so hot they couldn't talk to you? Matter of fact, they might have killed you if you stayed in their presence for a while. Okay, some of us haven't had that experience, but at least we've seen our friends be really hot, right? I mean, I can remember one situation where one of my friends, for some reason, he threw the basketball at me super hard for no reason. He's standing, like, super close, and he jammed my finger. So, you know, what I had to do, I just had to walk away. But I didn't want to see him for a while, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he knew he did it, and he was looking at me, and I was like, man, look, I had to walk home, actually. I was down the hill, a couple of hills, and I just walked home because I was like, man, I don't want to see this guy right now because I was upset. And then back then I was in a little bit more shape. So, yeah, you could do the math. But I was upset just like God was upset. Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served, this is what it is. This is why God is upset right here. For they went and served other gods. Somebody say other gods. And worshiped them. Gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, some of us, we're praying for things for God to do in our life, but we have to check where our worship is at. If God isn't answering your call, your prayers, you might have to check your worship. Because it says right here, when you're worshiping things that God is not pleased with, he's going to bring curses on you. This is what the God's word says. Your land is not going to be pretty. You're going to go through things and you're going to be like, why? And I'm not saying just because you're going through things, it's always a bad thing. Like I said, the devil's trying to get your worship as well. But when you're disobedient, you heap problems on yourself. You get certain things that happen in your life because of your disobedience, right? When your kid disobeys you consistently, and then it's time to give all the kids ice cream, that kid might not get ice cream, right? Now, whose fault was that? The child's fault. Now, some of us, we're just going to give him ice cream because he's just going to start crying and we can't take it, right? But that's not how God is. God has a system. In your obedience, he'll bless you. In your disobedience, he's going to let you face the wrath of whatever you did. He's going to let you face the consequences. Even when you repent, you're still going to have consequences because of your disobedience. But he's gracious and just to withhold some things from you just because you repented. That's the God that we serve. First of all, we don't deserve grace. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve any of that. All of us deserve to be dead. We all deserve to die in our sins and burn in hell. But because of his grace and his mercy, we can sit here and say, I am a Christian. I am covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to do none of that. So when it comes to your worship, God requires your worship because of what he did, because of his sacrifice. And we don't talk a lot about that in church because, oh, well, you know, God is a loving God. No, God has strict commands that he wants to be carried out. If you don't worship him, you don't get to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You don't get to inherit and walk in what God has for you. It's a cookie cutter system. You have to do these things. Okay? Like I said, the devil also wants your worship. We're going to go to a story where it talks about the devil seeking even the worship from Jesus. Luke chapter 4. Because the devil wants your worship just as much as God wants your worship. If the devil can get your worship, you're going to be with him. If he can consume you with money, if he can consume you with all kinds of things, mammon, whatever in the land, houses and all that, if he can consume you with those things, he's going to have your worship. And he's after that. Somebody say the devil is after my worship. This is the importance of why we seek God. It says this, the temptation of Christ. We all heard this story. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now listen, 40 days is a long time to be tempted. But check it out. The devil doesn't only tempt us 40 days. He tempts us our whole life. He's trying to get, matter of fact, he doesn't even have to tempt us. We get tempted by our own evil desires. You know, he might throw something in a way a few times. I mean, if you're on a diet, he might throw a cookie, you know what I'm saying, in the spirit. Hey, dang, that looks really good. Because, I mean, the devil operates off what you got problems with. Right? He's trying to get your worship. It says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Okay? And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, let's stop right there. We have to remember that the word of God is crucial. When we're trying to worship God, we have to know his word. Amen? If we do not know the word of God, it is going to be impossible for us to worship God. How? Because you don't even know what God is speaking. When you worship God, a part of worship is to hear from what God is saying. We've seen it in some churches where they have silent worship. Now, all of our worship should not be silent. I'm going to say that now. But there's going to be some times where you're silent worshiping God because you're trying to hear from God. Just like in prayer, there's times where you're trying to sit and just listen. God, what are you trying to say to me? That's a part of worship. Amen? So we have to know what God's word is saying. And if you think God said something that wasn't in the Bible, or if you haven't been reading your Bible and you think God said something, it might not be what God said. It could be your own thoughts, and it could be the devil's thoughts. That's why it's important that we stay rooted in the word, rooted in the word of God. Amen. It says, verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Stop right there. Does that mean that the devil has a lot that he can give to us? It says he has. I can give it to whoever I have. Is he lying? Yeah, he's a liar. But the devil has, he can give you a lot of things. Why do you think people sell their soul to the devil? Hey, this is something that a new rapper said, Kanye West said, I sold my soul to the devil. It was a crappy deal, but at least it came with a few toys like a Happy Meal. Now, why would he sell his soul? Because some of those toys, some of those things, the devil's going to, if he can shut you up and you can worship him, he's going to get you however he can get you. If he got to give you riches, oh, let me figure out how I can get this guy riches. And, you know, even the way you get it ain't going to be the way that you should get it. But he could get it, right? I mean, the devil, he's the chief of stealing, killing, and destroying. He could steal it from this person, kill it from that person, destroy it from this person, and come give it to you because you said, hey, I'll worship you. I'll give you my worship. So the devil's going to give you whatever you want. But this is what Jesus said. Somebody said, Jesus said. He answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Let me go to verse 7. This is what the devil said. Therefore, if you will what? Say it loud. What? Before me, all will be yours. That's what the devil was trying to take from Jesus. Now, if he went to Jesus, he went to the extreme and to try to get worship from Jesus, he's going to come after you as well. If you would just worship me, I would give you all that. Matter of fact, he'll say it like this. If you just don't even worship God, I'll give you all that you need. Hey, don't worry about anything. I got you. He's lying because he does got you in one sense that if he can keep your worship, you go on with him. He got you in that sense, but he can't take care of you. The devil can't meet all your needs. Let's keep on going. And Jesus said and answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Once again, where's he getting this written stuff? This is already in the word of God. Amen? That means Jesus even knew the word of God. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. We cannot serve or worship two different things. I'm going to get to another scripture about that later. Then it says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in the hands, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, look, the devil is not going, that's not the only time that the devil tempted him, right? Because it said he came back at an opportune time. That means when it's like, oh, hey, Jesus is feeling weak right now. This might be a good time to go try to get his worship. Amen? The devil is going to try to do that with you. Just like the situation where my dad lost that case, that's a time when the devil's going to come like, see, God really, he's not taking care of you, man. Like, if you would have did the things that I told you to do, I could, does the devil come and talk to us like that? Oh, man, look, your life is looking really jacked up right now. The devil will say that kind of stuff, right? Matter of fact, Marquise, you're out of shape, bro. I can shape you up. I can get you looking right. He's going to try to give the best sales pitch he can get if he can get your worship. If he can take your worship from God. That's what the devil's trying to do. That's why you're facing so many problems. That's why you're sick. That's why your body is sore. You can't do all these things because the devil is trying to hinder you from worshiping. He went and did that to Job. It wasn't that he was just trying to get Job to not, have good health. The reason why he was trying to take the worship from him and show God, look, this guy don't really want to worship you. But Job said, even if I die, despite all this stuff that has happened, God, I still worship you. And that's what the devil couldn't understand. He said, I done killed his family. I done, like, took almost all his stuff. But he still is going to worship God. And the devil, if he has opportunity, he's going to do the same thing to every one of us. Will you still worship God if your spouse died? Would you still worship God if your kids died? Would you still worship God if everything in your life got flipped upside down? Will you worship God or are you going to turn your back on God because in that moment you're saying, God, you weren't there for me? And I'm not saying that's an easy thing to just say, oh, praise God, but you have to be able to worship God because if you don't, the devil's going to try to take that from you. That's his job. To say the devil, say it, the devil is trying to take my worship. As I said, there's a battle for our worship. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Let's look at the devil. This is one of, and the reason why I'm showing you what the devil does is so you know that he's after your worship, okay? It's not that I'm glorifying the devil. That's not what I'm trying to do. But this is the reason why the devil even got kicked out of heaven, right? We all know the story. The devil was a lead worshiper for God, right? And what happened? Oh, man, why is God getting all this worship, yo? He probably said it like that, too. Yo, if I can get these guys to worship me, I'm going to be God. That's what he said. And as soon as he said it, he got the foot. He got the punt. He got punted out of heaven. It says this, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. This is what the devil said. For you had said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he's trying to get to. And how many of us know that today, in our day and age, the devil's working even harder than he has ever had because his time is short? The word of God says that his time is short, so he's going to do any and everything he can do. Just like when he went up to God, he's roaming the earth, seeking who he may devour, seeking whose worship he could take. So he, you know, for the people that ain't worshiping God, he don't got to do too much, right? How many of us have heard that the reason why the devil's trying to bother you is because you got a call in your life? He's trying to keep you from that call. So he's going to do any and every single thing that he can do to say, Megan, I don't want you to worship God today. So let a whole bunch of things like this cloud your mind. Let you be filled with these things. And the moment that you start worshiping, do you know what happens to the devil? It confuses him. When you praise, when you worship, it confuses him. So now he loses his techniques. He don't even have the same techniques. Now he got to go get another game plan. Because you defeated the devil with your worship. Because you offered it up to God. Because that's what he was supposed to do. So when you worship God, he gets upset about it. Because that's the whole reason he's down there. That's the whole reason he's not still in heaven. Oh, man. The reason why he left, it's because he thought he can get everybody's worship. Who are you worshiping? Think about that. You don't got to answer that. Mark 7. I'm going to read this one and that's going to be it. This is some other things that hinder our worship. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. It says this: Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Jesus said this. He answered and said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? Okay, so now Jesus flipped the script, right? I mean, should we wash our hands? Yes. Okay? So, look, don't read the scripture and think God is saying don't wash yourself. Okay? But he's saying you wash yourself. This is what he's going to say. This people honors me with their lips. Somebody say with their lips. But their heart is far from me. And in vain, they worship me. What does vain mean? Without purpose. You might as well, you shouldn't even do it then. In vain, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers, cups, and many other such things you do, he said to them, all too well. You reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. So what is God saying? What is Jesus saying right here? Instead of following the commandments of God, you push those aside to push the the traditions of men. So what is this thing saying? That some worship God with traditions. Oh, well, I got to come dress a certain way or I have to do a certain thing. That's what worship is. As my dad was saying, holiness, people think now it's a dress code. Like, if you dress like that, you're holy. No, God is talking. He said it's a heart issue. He said in verse 7 or 6, their heart, they worship with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And then he said, it's in vain that you worship. I'm going to stop there right now. I don't know if they're going to have me back up to finish this, but really, worship is something that we have to look at. We have to look at ourselves and say, are we truly worshiping God, or are we being consumed with the things of the world and not giving God our all? I have to admit, there were some times where I held back in worship, as I told y'all before. I held back because I was frustrated. I didn't know why things were not going the way that I planned it. I was upset. Sometimes you're even upset with God when that kind of stuff. Have any of us been mad at God before? Okay. Bless you. I hope that was a sneeze. But we've been upset with God. So what happens when you're upset with God? It causes a separation in your relationship with God. You're like, God, I'm not praying right now, man. Forget that. Like, I've been praying for this to happen all the time. I was hindered in my worship. Right? And I know I'm not the only one that's been in a situation like that. There's some stuff that we're praying and asking God, how come I'm not getting it? He's like, how come I'm not getting it? God is saying it. How come I'm not getting it? I'm talking about your worship. How come I'm not getting it? So we have to make sure that our heart is right with God. Amen. Dear God, I just pray right now, Father, for us as your people, dear God, to recognize that we are here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We are here to worship you, God, with all that we have, oh God. I pray for all those in the congregation, dear God, and all those that hear this. God, whatever that has been causing them to not worship you, God, that will be broken off their life, oh God. Dear God, that they will be able to lift their hands, that they will be able to surrender, oh God, that they will be able to worship you, dear God, no matter the circumstances, oh God. Help us all to worship you with our all, God, not holding back, oh God. And I pray to God that you would just allow us to see the difference when we give you our all. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.